Dream job or nightmare? It's hard to know if a career that looks great on paper will actually lead you to the life you want to live. So welcome to Dream Job Cafe. I'm Larry Port. I'll be asking different professionals the questions you won't find anywhere else. So grab a coffee, settle in. This is Dream Job Cafe.
Sponsored by Wayspark.co, where we help people navigate careers in a crazy world.
Hey, everybody. I'm Larry Port with the Dream Job Cafe, and I'm very excited to be with Scott Reddick, who's an old college buddy of mine. He is the Director of Strategy and Integration at Charles Schwab, and he's been in marketing for like basically his entire career. So, Scott, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
Yeah. So tell me, what do you do in your current job? Kind of give us like a lay of the land.
I have a rather unusual job at Schwab, but I think there's sort of two main responsibilities. So a lot of it is around almost like figuring out what are we going to be talking about as an organization? Like what does the next 6 or 12 months look like from a marketing standpoint? And you know, are we going to be talking about a new product, and you know, what are the benefits of that? Or if we don't have something, let's say in the pipeline, maybe there's something else that we want to be highlighting, or it's related to culture or some insights we have around like our customers. So, and then from there, it's like working with a lot of different marketing partners, whether it's, you know, advertising and our web team and our PR team and our sponsorship team, and trying to kind of create like a big integrated campaign around that. So that's kind of the official job. But I also have like a lot of fun. I have a lot of other kind of other side gigs that I get to do, which is rather unusual. So me and my boss, we have this little two-person team called the Creativity Hotline.
Ooh.
And if there's sort of projects that come up that maybe don't have an obvious home within the marketing organization, but it's sort of an interesting little initiative, that'll fall onto our lap. And so that's a lot of a kind of fun things we might be working on. And then when I was hired at Schwab, I was more hired in this more of kind of a classic brand strategy role. And I still do a fair amount of that, which is more about, you know, what's, you know, overall, you know, what does Schwab stand for? You know, how do we communicate? What are some of our, you know, things around like branding and things like that, where I kind of act as a bit of a consultant, like an internal consultant. So, you know, those other two parts is like a little bit of like a, yeah, kind of an internal creative strategic consultant, which is kind of the work I'd done prior to Schwab.
So can you talk a little bit about like how this kind of a marketing role is, and I'm guessing that maybe you've worked in agencies too. So you can be like in-house like you are right now, but then a lot of marketing people work in agencies, and how those two roles are different and why they even exist. Why isn't everybody in-house? Why isn't everybody using agencies?
Yeah. Great question. So I was an agency person for a long time. So when I started my career, I was a journalism major at Northwestern, and then I kind of quickly got into public relations, which is sort of journalism adjacent. So I worked at PR agencies, and then I worked at a place called Ammo Marketing, and which was a kind of an influencer marketing place before social media was around. So it was sort of like finding cool kids who were interested in things and working with them. And then I worked in traditional advertising, and I worked at a digital agency, or digital advertising agency. So that is kind of one of the big splits within marketing, is whether you're in an agency role or, you know, like an in-house working for like a corporation or a brand. And, you know, I think for your listeners, understanding those differences is actually, that's kind of a big lifestyle choice in a lot of ways. So generally speaking with agencies, you know, it's a different culture. It's a lot more young people. So that's one thing that's kind of a fun thing. It's like a lot of, you know, a lot of agencies have a lot of people in their 20s and 30s. And you're working with a lot of different clients. You're getting often kind of exposure to a lot of different industries and get to work on sort of different things. Whereas when you're working sort of at a place like Schwab, which is like a great big, you know, corporation with tens of thousands of people, it's a very kind of different work environment. Even like location-wise, like a lot of agencies are, you know, in cities. I mean, especially like ad agencies and stuff, where traditionally it was like New York, LA, Chicago, and you're working downtown. Whereas often if you're working for a big corporation, you're in some campus, you know, out in the suburbs, that kind of thing. And just like very kind of different, very different politics and things like that as well.
I'm sure. I know that. So would you, is it fair to say that like some agency work, and I've interviewed a bunch of people from when I ran my business, I interviewed a bunch of people that came from agencies. And a lot of them were just like exhausted. Like it seems like it's, and I don't know if they're all the same or if certain ones are more difficult than others, but it sounds like agency work can be a lot of fire drills and a lot of deadlines, or you talk about
Yeah,
that?
totally. Yeah, it's very like that. So it's a lot. I mean, I fortunately never worked at any place that was a total like sweatshop, but that's known for a lot of places can be a lot of long hours. There is a lot of fire drills. There's a lot of part is like, client has a problem. You got to deal with it. And when I
Right.
worked in PR, it was even more so because you can't control the news cycle. And all of a sudden, like, there's a scandal breaks out or something. And all of a sudden, you got to just be on. And so it's kind of a love hate thing, I think, for a lot of people, because there's like a little bit of an adrenaline rush of kind of come in and like, okay, we got to drop everything and try to fix this problem and kind of try to be the hero there. The other one is, I think a lot of it is around you're kind of constantly selling, you're constantly pitching. So in particular, like ad agencies, it can be pretty rough where to at most places to get the business, you can't just kind of come in and sell show your credentials and say, here's my background. You actually kind of come in and have to like bring in a whole like campaign
Right.
basically for free. And so that's now, so to grow, basically that means that's all the stuff you got to do outside of your 9-to-5 job that you're getting paid to do. Now it's like, okay, well, we got all of our client work done and maybe did a fire drill, and now it's 7 p.m. and we're, pitching so and so's business in 3 weeks, and we have to come up with like a new, campaign for them in that amount of time. And 80% of the time, it'll never pay out. 80%, if you can win 1 out of 5 pitches, you're doing pretty well.
And it's kind of like architecture in that sense, where they have to like bid on things by presenting like
You got a bid, yeah.
with designs. So what is the work life like? What is it actually? Do you wake up in the morning, you go to the office, you work from home? I mean, and I don't know if you can do that, speak a little bit to like the agency side and also the in-house side,
Yeah.
but also is there time to have dinner with your family? Do you get paid enough that you can take like a decent vacation, things like that?
Yeah, I think so. It starts off, I'd say that certainly on the agency world, it can be a lot of work, but it's often a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of it was like, you're working with a lot of younger people, you're dating, like, there's a lot of dating that happens. There's a lot of like, hey, we worked really hard, but then we're gonna go out for drink, So like I'm still like good friends with people that I worked with back in that day, because it's like this kind of, hotbed of activity and it's work. But I think also a lot of times you're doing things that are fun and creative. And it's like those pitches I mentioned, like it's hard and it can be, you don't win, but it's also really fun because like you're getting to take a crack at something new. If someone said like, hey, we're Nike and we don't want to just do it anymore. We want a new campaign idea. That's a fun thing to roll up your sleeves. And like a lot of my work was at that time was around customer insight. I remember I actually interviewed you for a pitch we had when I
That's
was talking
right.
about, like how does software work? So it was really funny. You kind of learn, like I do these kind of scrappy little focus groups or whatnot. And you'd learn a lot about like the world because you're getting to interview people, things. Like I remember once we were pitching like Panda Express, and all these folks were coming in to like for these like little focus groups on like, who are like Panda Express fans. And I just started noticing there was like a lot of like
That's a thing.
Latino people. Yeah, it was like a lot of Latino people were coming in. And at one point I just asked like, is there a thing with like Latino folks and like
Panda
Chinese people? They're
Express.
like, oh yeah. They're like, oh yeah. Like when my grandma comes from Mexico City, like the first thing we do is get some American Chinese food, which was super
Wow.
interesting. But
Does
then
it
I
go the other way?
realized,
Does it go the other way?
it could be,
Because.
maybe, I don't know. But part of it is actually you realize there's some similarities there of like rice and beans and kind of like comforting, it's like spices are a little different, but there's like a similarity that. So that was like a little thing that you get to kind of learn that I wouldn't have known otherwise. So it tends to be very that business audience about lifestyle, it's kind of very spiky. So you might
So project-oriented deadlines, things like
project, yeah,
that.
you got a big pitch or you got a project thing. You're working hard, you're trying to win it, a client doesn't like it, you got to come back and do it. And then other times maybe things kind of slow down. You're a little less busy or seasonal or whatever, I think. So that can be one part of it. I would say that a big difference working then at a on the sort of in-house, so like on the client side, is things tend to be a lot more smoother. much more kind of a 9-to-5 thing. Yeah, of course, there can be some project spikes or things like that at the launch. And you're often kind of in the middle of things. It's like, okay, like even while you're, when I mentioned, like a lot of my job is looking ahead to what does the next year look like. So even, you know, we're about to launch some new commercials with Schwab that are going to probably debut like in a month or two. But I'm thinking about like, okay, but what's 9 months from now looking like? And what's the next thing that's going to replace that? So that's one of the big differences, the pace. But yeah, I've always been able to have, you know, a life outside of things. And, you know, I think for, especially on the kind of creative side of things, I think you know, it's quite encouraged to make sure you have a life outside, because especially when you're trying to relate to people and marketing, you know, knowing what is outside in the world, you know, knowing what people are interested in is very much part of the job. You know, it's like going to a concert is a, you know, probably a thing you could probably expense on your taxes, because you need to know what people are, what's it like going to a concert and what kind of advertising or kind
of marketing. What are people wearing? What are people
doing? Yeah, you know, so just, you know, being sort of aware of that. That's actually one of the real problems. If you get too stuck in your own world and your work and you're only looking at your walls or what you read on the internet, you know, you're kind of disconnected from people. So it's important to kind of get outside and, you know, touch grass, right?
So it's a creative field, which I think is awesome. And you were a journalism major. Do you find that a lot of people that you worked with, like what kind of backgrounds or what kind of things did they study?
You know, it's a lot of, yeah, I would say it's a lot of marketing is the domain of like liberal arts majors types. You know, there's a creative bent to things, you know, attracts a lot of different types of people. It's a great field in the sense of marketing in general of if you're kind of a creative person, you get to be creative in a way that's maybe more stable than a true creative profession. In the sense, I've thought about this a lot in the sense that if you're an actor or a musician or a author, there's like 0.1% make a ton of money, get to be J.K. Rowling or Tom Cruise or whatever. And then there's like maybe another little layer of people who are like working professionals, you know, where like I play drums, you know, if you want to be a pro drummer that's not in a famous band, okay, maybe you teach and you do wedding gigs and you do YouTube,
right?
But it's a hard life, you know, it's hard to make any, you know, you're kind of grinding a lot just to kind of, you know,
it's also becomes less about the creativity and just fulfilling whatever you work, wants,
right? Yeah, but then it's like everyone else, most people who play an instrument or paint, right, don't make really any money. You know, you need to have like a paid gig. So what's nice about marketing is that there's a lot of ways to be creative or be around creativity and still get a 401k and a regular paycheck. So, you know, if you're working in TV commercial production, you're getting to go to LA and do a photo shoot and, you know, work with directors and actors and things like that. If you're, you know, an event person, if you're throwing events, like you get to be like this, you know, party planner on steroids and, you know, get to throw big events and do that kind of thing. Or if you like to write, I mean, you know, maybe you're writing advertising copy or social media posts or things like that, but you're still getting to flex that muscle. And maybe, you know, on your own time, you're also working on your novel or things like that. So I think it attracts a lot of people that way.
That's awesome.
I would say that one thing that's a bit different than when I started is that there's so much more in the digital world now, there's so much more with analytics and math and like A/B testing things. And so a lot of the digital marketing ecosystem that powers all the stuff that we're buying on, you know, when you're on Facebook or TikTok or any kind of social media or banner ads, a lot of that is much more
so analytic driven.
Analytic driven. And so it helps to be know a little bit about that. And there's definitely people I think that maybe came more from that kind of, you know, maybe they wanted to work in private equity or a hedge fund or something, like didn't do that. But it's like, hey, I'm pretty good with Excel and I'm pretty good with math. And maybe he's still maybe also being around that kind of environment, you know, maybe it's a little different than being working, you know, at a New York Wall Street quant fund or something like that. You're getting to kind of still work with like creative people and things. So I think that's what attracts people. Like one thing we talk a lot about at work is this idea, like whole brain thinking, you know, you think about like right brain thinking is emotion and visuals and senses, and then left is more analytical and logical. And I think the best marketers you want to do both. You know, you get a little taste of both. And I think that's one of the things that people who are successful in this industry are able to harness is both sides.
Oh, that's great to hear. I'm a big believer in that. And I think that the more people, I feel like people get pigeonholed into one or the other. And I think that it's not necessarily true, this myth. Or maybe it's science, I have no idea. But I do like the idea of the kind of holistic approach to things. Let me ask you this though, and talk about the like competitiveness of getting started in this industry. Because you know, a lot of creative fields, it's pretty competitive. People want to do it, whether or not they want to do the creative work, whether or not they want to be around the glamour and just like the idea of having national campaigns. Is it hard for people to get started? Or because obviously like other things like that you mentioned, being a professional drummer, being a professional actor, like where does it stand there compared to everything else?
It is kind of hard. I mean, I have a friend and I tend to agree with him that has a theory that it's like a lot of people get started in, especially at least I can speak with the agency world. And one kind of general thought is what I've seen a lot is that you kind of get your start in agencies, then later transition to these kind of corporate marketing jobs like I have. So like almost everyone I worked with on my team was had 10, 20 years track record at agencies before they came to Schwab. There's very few sort of entry level jobs at Schwab in marketing. That's just my experience. And I think that's true of probably a lot of places. But I would say it's not easy to get, at least in my experience, it was not easy to get into agency jobs either. And I have a friend who I tend to agree with him and said, like, you know, he kind of thinks that a lot of the people that work in this field kind of come from fairly wealthy backgrounds because it's kind of like this liberal major type thing. And then you're being asked to go live in New York or San Francisco or a high cost of living areas with very little pay at first. And so it kind of helps if you have a background where not everyone does that, but I do think there's a little bit of that. I mean, I think sometimes a criticism of marketing is that, you know, it's...
if you don't have the resources, you can't survive the
resources. And as people from a lifestyle of the kind of coastal elites, there's not as many people that, you know, sort of understand sort of heartland things. So they don't live there and they're not really from that economic set. Now, that's not always the case, but I do think there's a little truth in that. It's hard to break in. Once you kind of get your feet wet, then the compensation gets better. But it's like, I think often it was the case of like, there's a lot of sort of supply and demand thing. A lot of people want to get into it and, you know, there's not a lot of pay. And in fact, like there's also even, at least within advertising, for example, a lot of people go to these postgraduate programs. It's called like a portfolio school. I even did that. There's a thing called Miami Ad School where it's like, you know, you spend 1 or 2 years basically kind of learning the craft of advertising to come in with a portfolio of work that's maybe not live, but it's like, okay, you can come into an interview and be like, here's some, you know, ads that I've made that never were officially hired for, but it shows that you can, you know, do this kind of work. And so that's even a cost outside of a four-year degree to just get a portfolio together and spend, you know, another 2 years and more money doing that. So it can be hard. Now, I think that might've changed now since I kind of entered. I suspect it might be a little bit different, but it's still not too easy to get into, I'd say, compared to some other fields.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if it's not like you're probably not, even if you had to go finance that, you're probably not, I'm guessing, going into the same amount of debt that you would in medical school or in law school.
No, not the same.
So, yeah, but I do think that there is like, you know, a lot of people, I think, go through liberal arts educations and then they might go to culinary school or they might go to something else to do that kind of stuff. By the way, the way that you're talking about it, it does sound kind of, this agency work sounds a little bit like a restaurant gig. I mean, those are pretty intense if you haven't worked in a restaurant industry, but you're dealing with a lot of people, a lot of young people. There's some dating and socialization involved usually. And they can be like kind of high pressure cooker environments at times.
Yeah, one other thing I mentioned too, there was, you know, another kind of route is the MBA route. So, I mean, a lot of classically, one of the things when people would like, let's say, get an MBA, I think a lot of times there are sort of three fields they go into. One is be a consultant, go work for McKinsey or Bain or someplace like that. Another one is getting into, you know, finance. And another kind of classic one was, you know, brand management. In fact, like Kellogg at Northwestern, that's what it was sort of famous for. Whereas
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So there was like, you know, you classically would be like, okay, you get an MBA and then you work at Procter & Gamble or Unilever or Microsoft.
So the MBAs go in-house is what you're saying?
And you go in-house and you're a brand. And then, you know, what happens when you're a brand manager, you know, you're now in charge of, you know, you go get your MBA. Now you're in charge of Wheaties. And okay. In some ways you're there, you're kind of almost like running like, in some ways you're running like a little business within this corporate thing, but you're sort of in charge of the Wheaties business, you know, and making sure that you deliver, you know, 5% profit growth from the year before. And you're looking at, you know, the advertising, the marketing, and maybe you need a promotion, or maybe we need to do more with distribution and things like that. And that was kind of classically the way to get into more senior management kind of roles on the client side. So, you know, you get an MBA, you do that, and then you're kind of more on the executive marketing path is a way to do that.
Is it the kind of thing where, like in software, unlike law and unlike medicine, for me, I loved engineering and I loved coding and I loved building things. But then the more senior you get, unlike law and medicine, the more divorced from it you are. Like you end up having to manage the engineers. Is it
for sure
similar like that in marketing and advertising, or do you still get to be creative and get your hands dirty?
I think yes, it is like that. And one of the things that gets frustrating though, is when you're talking about, you know, being creative and getting your hands dirty, is that's where things can get really frustrating for everyone else, in the sense of, you know, a classic one is like one of the roles you have in a lot of organizations is an art director. So art directors, or like graphic designers, are they're people that, you know, this is a great example of using your creativity. It's like, it's hard to make a living as a painter.
Right? Yeah. But Stanley Tucci in Devil Wears Prada is a great example of an art director.
Yeah, he's an art director. Yeah, I think that. Or, you know, you're designing a web page, right? And those people have formal training around proportions and typography and colors and things like that. And they also have often really good innate talent and taste. Like, their offices look really cool because they just have, you know,
yeah.
Again, they're good dressers. Mm-hmm. And now what gets really frustrating is that you've thought really hard about, you know, the way this web page looks or this print ad looks or photography. And then, you know, it moves up the hierarchy. And then someone says, you know, I want a different color green.
Yeah. Make it blue.
Make it more blue, whatever. Like, and it's like, that can be one of these frustrating things. So I do think it's like a funny thing. It's like, I think the best marketing leaders are ones who, they can have a point of view and maybe they also have some of their own ideas and do things. But if they're kind of overriding all the work that everyone else did, who spent all of their time, you know, they spent all day doing this. And then you're kind of coming in a 10-minute meeting and undoing all of the work that everyone else did. That's the thing that's like probably some of the most demoralizing aspects of it. And that is one thing you talked about the life too, is I think one thing that's interesting about marketing when you are dealing with creative things is a lot of your, you know, a little of your soul goes into that stuff. You know, this is what you think is right. This is stuff that you believe is right. And it takes some thick skin because sometimes, you know, you don't always get the thing you want, or it goes to a focus group and people are like, oh, I hate this. And you have to kind of deal with those kinds of things. That kind of comes with the territory. But when people like the stuff you have, or at least more importantly, if it's things that you're proud of and you like, I mean, that's can be very satisfying as well. So there's kind of an emotional component to it that maybe is different from some other, the creative side of that has that may be different from some other types of careers people might have.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is that, like, also when you hit a home run in this business, it becomes part of the cultural landscape. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know that, like, the I Love New York symbol was like actually an advertising campaign at one point. Like, this stuff just becomes part of everybody's experiences. So that's pretty cool. Let me ask you this. Who should absolutely not pursue this? You said like maybe people who are a little thin skinned, like who should play in this and who should not?
So who should play? Yeah, I think people that sort of want to be around creative thing, want to use both sides of their brains. Good. I think people who kind of like to have a little bit of chaos, you know, are cool with some chaos and change. And, you know, so unpredictability and maybe kind of thrive on that a little bit. I do think that people have, we're kind of wired to be collaborative. I mean, almost everything you do still has to, you're going to be working with a lot of people. You can't just kind of be in your own little world and just deliver your thing. You're having to kind of work with a lot of other folks. I would say who, you know, not for is, yeah, if you need like a very structured, like, you know, I want to go in at 9 and be done at 5 and have a very kind of routinized type of thing, that's not as good. I think if you have trouble with ambiguity, there's a certain messiness to a lot of the work, you know, it's like a little bit of trial and error and things like that. So if it's very, I think people with a more of an engineering, well, I don't know if there's different types of engineer, but I think in some ways we are like very, if you're a very sort of structured person, that could be very frustrating.
Well, yeah. Like when you were saying that, like you pour your heart and soul and then somebody to have different opinions and you really think, like in my line of work, it's if I got something wrong, like a plane could crash or something. You know what I mean? Like there's yes or no. It's binary. It either works or it doesn't. In this, it sounds like you got to be okay with not that.
Yeah. And one thing that's sort of interesting with, it's fun. It's not as, I mean, it's a somewhat shallow industry. That's something that kind of bothers, especially as you get a little older.
As opposed to being a priest or a rabbi?
You're not saving lives. Like you're getting people to buy. There has been times where different parts, sometimes the industry will kind of do things to champion a cause or have a purpose or some greater idea that you're in service of. Sometimes that happens, but you know, more often than not, it's like, okay, how are you going to sell this thing? You know? And so if it's really important to you to have sort of deep values around helping people or making the world a better place or something like that, I'm not sure that's the, we're playing more on the shallow end of the pool than I think some other industries might be.
Yes. But the trade-off is that you get to exercise your creativity and your idea generation, right? So
yeah. And I think also my stand, you know, now that I'm in less of a grind than maybe I was, and it was never too much of a grind, but you know, now I have the ability to do time for other types of things too. And so, and then that's also one thing you kind of see people, especially maybe later in their, let's say, you know, once you've hit middle-aged, you can work in this field, but also do other things that either help people in other ways. You know, I've done more volunteering or served on boards or things like that. I mean, that's kind of a kind of classic thing to do, or have other kind of creative projects that you're doing on your own. It's not heart surgery, right?
Well, what I do want to underscore, like to people that are like wrestling with that kind of issue. I mean, there's a lot of careers, like, you know, legal software was the same way. It's, you know, you don't have to save the manatees necessarily with, there's a lot of those down here where I live, with work. It's, you know, if you want that to be part of your life, there's a gazillion different ways to do it. But if you try and marry all the things you want to do in one package, you may end up like not getting anything that you want, like a bad compromise.
Sure. So totally agree with that.
Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously no one can predict the future, but we're living in a time where, especially like, you know, written copy generation through AI or analysis, or even to some extent image generation, like things that could affect advertising conceivably. How do you see AI affecting the industry? And what do you think it's going to be like next year, the year after, however out you want to project?
So I think it'll be interesting. I mean, it's hard to know. I do think that in the short term, yes, there's going to be a shift in how things get made. So, you know, we're seeing this kind of everywhere. It's like there's often sort of the roles of people who make things, and there's like people who kind of like direct, like creative directors or things like that, who are sort of overseeing things. I think that, you know, what you're going to see is a lot more, you sort of, you know, first drafts of things, you know, and be able to kind of outsource some of the more, maybe the lower level stuff. I do think people are always going to want to kind of be involved for lots of reasons. You know, I'll be curious to see where the image generation things go, but I tend to think that, I kind of suspect it's kind of like, you know, I've got this vinyl behind me. You know, people kind of like to have the vinyl, even though it's an older technology, because there's something about, or people still like to have, you know, handmade things, because there's something about having a human connected to
people
it.
Still use candles,
right? And I can say for my own thing, you know I mentioned like other projects, like I've published now, I started writing a comic book series about the Jameson Panderized Curious Universe, and AI has been really helpful in the sense of it's been a really great editor and like thought partner, you know, it's still my ideas, but it's like kind of nice to be able to riff on with them. It's like, hey, help me come up with some names for this. And it feels very much like I'm just riffing with a person. And I think it's made the work better, you know, than, you know, it'd be amazing if I could afford some, you know, editor who would help me with all that too, but they're not necessarily on call at 11 PM when I have some idea.
Right.
So my hope is that it kind of raises the bar in other things where we look at other types of technology where it's like, okay, like there's lots of things where, you know, there's a certain scariness of the new technology, but then it's also, you know, made everyone's life better. So that's what the optimistic view of things are.
Yeah. So you're more in that there's like usually two main camps, the way that the labor analysts look at things. It's like the augmentation camp and then there's the replacement camp. And it sounds like what you're saying is it's definitely more in the augmentation side of things.
That's what I hope. Yeah. That's what I hope.
All right. Awesome. Well, you know, Scott, I think I asked you everything I wanted to ask. Is there anything else you want to add or are we good?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things I'd just say is within marketing, though, there's a lot of different types of roles. And almost like within anything you're interested, there's probably a place for that. You know, we work with our legal, and I know you were in the legal industry. There's people who, you know, we work a lot on our trademarks and IP law and things like that. And they're within the marketing organization. They do that. There's project managers, there's finance people. When I worked in an agency, we had this great kind of business affairs person who was the person that was dealing with our contracts for like music licensing and actors and things like that. So, you know, it's like, and he was a super interesting kind of creative guy too, though. So there's like a lot of different types of, you know, different types of roles, right? You don't have to be the one coming up with ideas or marketing plans. There's a lot of different, you know, spaces for you within that. And then as far as young people, though, I think the good thing is that, you know, I know this is aimed at a lot of a kind of younger audience. You mentioned about AI. I do think that the future is still going to be more marketing in general. So if you think about like science fiction movies that aren't 1,000 years in the future, but they're 50 or 100 years in the future, like Blade Runner or Minority Report, what do you see in all those movies?
Billboards
and advertising and stuff like that. And, you know, one thing it is that there's always new things. And it's like, you know, I was helping, we're kind of, Schwab is having our, you know, starting to do some TikToks. And it's like, you know, the people we want helping us to figure out TikToks are 24, not, you know, 50, right? And everyone's listening to you. You know, it's like that actually went all the way. There was a presentation with TikTok stuff that went all the way to our founder, you know, Chuck, who's in his 80s. You know, and there's people that were, you know, basically like a year or two out of college that had content that made up to them because like we want to know what they think we should do on that kind of thing. So I think, you know, part of it is that there's always new things coming out. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of younger people can have, you know, an in to this industry. And certainly right now with like social media, to your other point, not to making that your whole life, but it's like, hey, if you're a good TikTok content creator, that's something you can leverage, you know. That could get an end to a lot of different places, you know, that the fact that you can make stuff and know how to work the algorithm and understanding, you know, like all the bells and whistles on that. So I think there's sort of always new apertures coming out for people to do that. And often that's the place where we're kind of looking to younger people that have a better understanding. And also just generally, we talked about culture. I think it's like, I've always kind of felt that sort of 20 somethings have a disproportionate impact on culture. You know, always like the best musicians, the hottest restaurants,
right,
the coolest actors, the best athletes tend to be people that are like 25. Right. And so, mm-hmm. You know, that's a chance for you to kind of leverage that. And to your point, you can make sometimes you can make an impact on those things as well. So that's where there's kind of a big opportunity, I think.
Awesome, Scott. Well, hey, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
This is great talking to you. Great to see you. This is a fun conversation. And if any of your listeners can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Scott Reddick on LinkedIn, I may have to.
Reddick with 1D.
1D, that's right.
Yes. And so for all of you out there, if you enjoyed this, please give us a thumbs up, share it with your friends. And if you can, be grateful for something today.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Dream Job Cafe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to check out wayspark.co, where we help people navigate careers in a crazy world.